Well, last week we came to Matthew chapter 10, where we were introduced to Jesus' 12 apostles, and we talked a little bit about them. We spent most of our time last week talking about Peter and getting to know him a little bit. Of course, he is already probably the best known of them. And some of them we talked about that are only mentioned in the places where they're listed. And so there's not really much at all to know about some of them. But tonight we do want to take some time and look at one who, even though there's not a lot known about him, in fact, I actually could print out all of the verses in the New Testament that mention him on one piece of paper. Couldn't have done that with Peter. Remember, he was mentioned in about 110 different verses. But Peter had a brother. His brother's name was Andrew. And Andrew is, even though there's not that much said about him, he is one of my favorites. Because we can learn a lot from the few little glimpses into his life that we get. We talked last week a little bit about Peter and Andrew. We talked about the fact that they were fishermen. So they weren't great biblical scholars or anything of the sort. They certainly weren't priests or Levites or Pharisees or teachers of the law. And yet they had a simple, honest, good heart that was what Jesus was looking for. And one of the interesting things about Andrew is that he actually got to meet Jesus before his brother Peter did. One of the fascinating things about Andrew that we need to realize as we look at how we are living our lives and how we're trying to bring others to Jesus is that if we will do what we can to bring others to Jesus, like Andrew did, we never know what the results might be. We never read about Andrew in the book of Acts beyond being there on the day of Pentecost. He was in the list of those apostles that were there on the day of Pentecost. But we don't read about him going and preaching anywhere. I'm sure he did, but we don't read about it in the book of Acts. He didn't write any of the books of the New Testament like Matthew and Peter and John. He didn't write any of the books in the New Testament. In fact, he's one of those characters who is always kind of behind the scenes. He's never the leading man. He's always just the supporting role. And yet we see in him how important that leading role couldn't be if it weren't for the supporting characters, the supporting actors and actresses that help that leading role to stand out. We see that in a lot of shows. They even have, I guess, saw something, the Oscars are coming up sometime soon. I don't know, maybe they already had it. But this is the time of year they do those award shows. And some of those awards are not just for the leading actor and actress in the shows, but the supporting actors and actresses, because the show just wouldn't be much if only the lead was there. So we look at Andrew, and he's the supporting role. But more than that, we talked about Peter. How often he's spoken of. We talked about him preaching the first gospel sermon before 3,000 people on the day of Pentecost. But that never would have happened if it hadn't been for Andrew. If Andrew had not brought his brother Peter to Jesus, why, Peter would have just lived the rest of his life being a common fisherman instead of becoming a fisher of men, as Jesus changed their lives. Well, we talked about before, Matthew 4:18-20 is the first time that Peter and Andrew together are called by Jesus. We saw that when we were back there in Matthew 4. We've been through that already. But Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee. He saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. He said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And they straightway left their nets and followed him. Do you see the, the determination of Andrew here? You see the kind of man he is? He didn't make excuse. He didn't say, well, you know, Lord, I'm in the middle of this right here. I'll come follow you when I get done. He didn't say, well, you know, I can't leave this job right here. This is important. I can't leave this to follow you. He didn't say, well, you know, let me get somebody else to take my spot here and then I'll follow you. He didn't make any excuses. When Jesus said, follow me, he got up immediately, left those nets, and followed Jesus. And I don't think Andrew doubted that he had made the right choice. Years later in his life, I'm sure he realized that he had done the right thing by following Jesus and leaving those nets behind. We know certainly they did on occasion go back and do some more fishing, but they never again were the same kind of fishermen that they had been before they met Jesus. A lot of times we think that that situation in Matthew 4 was the first time that they met. But it's not, at least not for Andrew. In John chapter 1 and verses 35 through 42, we learn something more about Andrew. It says there, after John had already talked about Jesus being the Messiah, he talked about that God had told him that the one that the Holy Spirit came down and descended on him and stayed there on him, he'd know that was the one. And that had happened with Jesus just a few verses before. And so then the next day, verse 35 tells us, John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. And Jesus turned and saw them following and said unto them, what do you seek? And they said unto him, Rabbi, which is to be interpreted Master, where are you staying? Where do you dwell? He said to them, come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first, look what he did first, after this day. He first finds his own brother Simon and said unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. What if Andrew hadn't gone to find his brother after that day? What if he'd have said, well, that was an interesting day. Now I'll go back to being a disciple of John again. What if he'd have said, well, that was interesting, it was nice to meet him and all, but I think I'll go back to being a fisherman again and forget all about it. But that wasn't Andrew. Andrew seized on this opportunity, and in just a few short hours, it was the 10th hour of the day by the time they went to where Jesus was dwelling, and so they stayed with him the rest of that day. But in just that short period of time, from the 10th hour on to the end of the day, in just a few short hours, Andrew recognized, this is the guy. This is who we've been looking for. And you notice he didn't have any qualms about it. He didn't go to Peter and say, well, Peter, you're better at all this religious stuff than me. Why don't you go see if this is the guy we've been waiting? He went to him and he said, Peter, Simon. Well, he didn't call him Peter. He probably called him Simon all his life. Peter was the name Jesus gave him. But he said, Simon, come on, I found the Messiah. He's here. The Christ has come. And he wasn't doubtful about it. He wasn't wondering whether he was right about it. He was confident. And sometimes I think we are shy about bringing people to Jesus and about bringing them to the church because we don't have the kind of confidence that Andrew had. Deep down, we're just not real sure that we're doing what's right. Deep down, we're just not real sure. We've got all these lingering doubts, and so that keeps us from being bold like Andrew was. And you know, it's amazing that Andrew first went to his brother. He wanted his own family to know about Jesus first. Now, certainly that's not where Andrew's efforts to bring people to Jesus stopped. He didn't just say, well, I got my brother, so I'm not going to worry about it anymore. Oh, certainly not. We learn that Andrew and Simon Peter owned a house together. Mark chapter 1 and verse 29, it says that when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew. So at that time, they owned a house together. I don't know that they weren't real young at this point, though. Peter was already married, we know, by the time Jesus was spending time with them, because Jesus healed his mother-in-law. But can you imagine living with your sibling when you were grown? It's hard enough when you're children. But when you get grown, you want to get out and get a place of your own. But Andrew must have been a patient kind of fellow to keep living with his brother, and not just his brother, but his brother's wife and mother-in-law. How rough would that be? And yet he did that. He lived in that house with them. But we also want to notice that Andrew not only was one who was confident, not only one who was bold in sharing the good news of Jesus with others and bringing others to Jesus, but Andrew also was an opportunist. You know, there's always the debate between the optimists and the pessimists about whether the glass is half full or half empty. We've heard that debate before. But the story goes that while the optimist and the pessimist were arguing about whether the glass was half full or half empty, the opportunist drank what was in the glass. And Andrew was that kind of a guy, too. He took advantage of the circumstances to the best of his ability. In John chapter 6, in verses 5 through 13, John tells the story of the feeding of the 5,000. It's the same story, basically, that is told in the other gospel accounts, but he gives a little bit more detail. John explains that when Jesus saw this great company, he first turned to Philip, one of the disciples, one of his apostles, and said, where are we going to buy bread so all these people can eat? And he was saying this just as a test question. He already knew what he was going to do about the situation. But Philip said, well, 200 pennies worth of bread wouldn't be enough for all of these folks, that everyone could have just a little bit. But verse 8 is interesting. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, you notice Andrew's never mentioned without being mentioned as being Simon Peter's brother. I suppose that's like always being in the shadow of your better known, better respected, better thought of brother or sister or other family member. Why couldn't you be more like so-and-so? Why couldn't you do what so-and-so did? Andrew never seemed to have developed any resentment toward Peter as a result of his brother being better known than he was. He was content to just be the wind beneath his wings, as that old song says. But Andrew said to Jesus, there's a lad here that has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. That's not much. You've got 5,000 people. And here's a little fellow who had his sack lunch with him. But Andrew said, hey, we got something. We may not have enough bread for him, but here we got this little guy. Look what he's got. And brought it to Jesus. And Jesus then took that very same little bit of bread and fish. I know we ate fish, and I don't know how big these 2 fish that this little fellow had were. It says 2 small fishes, so I kind of picture them being the size of a brim. Just big enough that if you filleted it, you'd have about 2 bites, you know, one on each side. But That's about what, you know, this fellow, it was just his lunch. It wasn't enough to feed 5,000 people. And yet Andrew took the opportunity. He looked on the bright side. He looked at the possibilities. And he says, well, here's this little bit, but what's that among so many? But he brought it. How many times do we say, or at least think, well, I just got such a little bit, what good would it do for my little bit? Of whatever it is. It may be time, it may be money, it may be our own thoughts in Bible class that we don't share. Well, you know, my little thoughts, nobody will care what I think. I'm not going to speak up and say that. How easy it is for us to belittle ourselves and think that the little bit that we've got isn't important. That our little bit can't help. We look at a whole world of 7 billion people and we say, well, there's, you know, what could I do? I can't reach the whole world. I can't help the poor of the whole world. I can't. The old saying, can't never could, because can't never tried. Can't is a negative word. Andrew didn't say can't. Andrew said, here's what I've got. Do something with it, Lord. And the Lord's good at taking a little bit and doing something with it. And He can do that with us as well. But think about what Andrew did. He didn't reach 3,000 people and bring them to Jesus at one time, but he did bring one fella, and that one fella turned out to be the one that did bring 3,000 to Christ in one sermon. Sometimes we don't know. Story is told of a gospel meeting that was being held, and it was back in the day when they had long gospel meetings, a couple of weeks long. And they'd gone through this whole meeting, and in the end of that whole meeting, when it was over, the last night, no one had responded, and that last night, one little barefoot boy came down the aisle and responded to the invitation. And the people were disappointed. Here we've put all this money, we've put all this time, we've put all this effort to preaching the gospel in our community, and all we get is this one little barefoot boy. But the fact of the matter is that even though that preacher may have left that meeting thinking he'd failed because he only got that one little boy, and well, he probably would have obeyed sometime anyway. But that one little barefoot boy, as it turned out, was Marshall Keeble, who preached the gospel all throughout the world and who started congregations in dozens of cities and who baptized thousands in his lifetime. That one little barefoot boy that responded during that meeting. Now sometimes we don't think about who we might reach and what their impact might be. Now, I don't know if Andrew realized when he brought Peter to Jesus what an effect it was going to have. I don't think Andrew realized when he brought that little boy with his little sack lunch what an impact that was going to have. I don't think he realized all that. But he still brought it to Jesus anyway and let Jesus do what he could with it. We see what a reputation Andrew had gained for being someone who got people in to see Jesus. Because when there was a feast day and some of the Greeks had come and they came to worship at the feast and they came to Philip and they told Philip, we want to see Jesus. And you know what Philip did? The first thing Philip did was, well, if you want to see Jesus, I've got to take you to Andrew. And so he took these Greeks who wanted to see Jesus to Andrew. And Andrew then in turn took them to Jesus with Philip so that they could meet Jesus. And then Jesus in John chapter 12 and verses 23 and following had opportunity to teach those Greek individuals who were there at that feast some things about His teaching that they hadn't known before. Just a small little group, perhaps. Certainly wasn't a crowd of 5,000, not a crowd of 3,000, just a few. But they were able to see Jesus because of Andrew and his reputation. Andrew is a good example to us. We need to be more like Andrew. We need to look for ways to bring others to Jesus. Imagine, if you will, if each of us could bring just one person to Jesus this year. What if we could? What if each one of us brought one? What if that same thing happened again the next year and the year after that? How quickly could this building be full? How quickly could it be overflowing with people if we could each just bring one? Now, I know I can hear, well, it's just so hard. Nobody's interested. Nobody wants to listen. Nobody wants. I understand the difficulties that are there. But the difficulties don't give us an excuse not to try. We have to seek. We have to try. We have to reach out to others to try to bring them to Jesus. Not everyone will come to Jesus, but some will. And if we keep bringing others to Jesus, we keep sharing the good news that we've found the Messiah with other people like Andrew did, eventually we'll bring some Peters to Jesus. Some people who will bring others. And those others will bring others as well. But we can't do that if we never tell anyone about Jesus. Andrew's a good example for us, certainly. He was never the superstar. He wasn't the most famous. He wasn't the best known. He wasn't the most popular. He wasn't any of those things that we often think of as successful. And yet he did what he could. And I have no doubt that when we get to heaven, we'll find Andrew there. And he won't be alone. He will have gone rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, as the old song says. He will have brought a lot of others with us. We may not have known any of their names. We may not read about any of the people other than Peter who were converted by Andrew. But I'm sure he converted others. He didn't stop with just his brother. He only started there. You notice that verse said, first he went and found his brother Peter. That was the first thing he did. He didn't stop there. It wasn't the last thing he did. That was the first thing. The beginning of a glorious career of serving Jesus in the shadows. And that's what we all need to do. Serve Him without concern over how others may view it. If you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, you can become one tonight. By doing the same thing that the apostles taught others to do in the first century. Hearing, believing, repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus as the Christ, and being buried with Him in baptism. If you are a Christian tonight, but perhaps you haven't been following Andrew's example, maybe you need to start tonight. Make the determination that you're going to be a soul winner like Andrew was, that you're going to reach out and bring others to Jesus. If you're here and have a need to respond tonight, please do so as we stand and as we sing.